Let's hear the word of God today. Direct your attention to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 22 to the end. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's hear the word of God. For those online, the words will come up on screen. I'm reading this passage. I'm not preaching from it, but it ties into our theme for today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. We know the Lord will stamp with his own approval and blessing this reading of his own precious, infallible word. Now, my text today is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. It says this: husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I've entitled this message, The Scriptural Duty of Husbands. Now, let me begin by asking myself a very soul-searching question. What kind of husband am I? Let me broaden it out. What kind of husband are you today? I'm making the address to the married man, but I could stretch it out even further to the younger man. Remember, the Bible teaches young men it's not good for you to be alone. And if you aspire to be married one day, then ask yourself, what kind of husband do I aspire to be? What kind of husband do you aspire to grow up to be when you get married? Will you be a blessed husband? Or do you want to be a bitter husband? Do you aspire to be a loving husband? Or would you want to be a lousy, low-life kind of a husband? Remember, Colossians 3:19 is set in the context of living out the Christian life. The Apostle Paul is teaching those that are in Christ, those that are born again of the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood, new creatures in Christ, changed and transformed by the grace of God, possessed and gripped by a hatred for sin and a love for holiness. And the scriptural teaching to these Christians in Colossae and us in Carriduff is this: here's how to live out the Christian life in the context of a church family and fellowship. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 to 17. Keep in mind the word another throughout that passage of Scripture. Then the Holy Ghost led the Apostle Paul to introduce another new section. And this new section has to do with living out the Christian life in the context of the home. This section is Colossians 3, verse 18, right down to verse 25. And notice that it mentions wives, verse 18. It mentions husbands, verse 19. It mentions children, verse 20. It mentions fathers in 21. It mentions servants in verse 22. And that has to do, when we put all of that together, the context of home. That has to do with the context of a family. Now, last week I dealt with verse 18. I asked the question, is a submissive wife scriptural? And we sought to answer it. And I encourage you to listen again to that particular message. It's on the church website. Today we're dealing with verse 19. And this text, these words, deal with the primary scriptural duty and responsibility of husbands toward their wives. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You see, if wives are to submit unto their own husbands in the Lord, and remember the word submit is a military term, a surrender to authority, a surrender to headship, because the husband is the head of the wife, and that's what we've already read from Ephesians chapter 5. Then the wife realizes, if I'm to submit here under the headship of my husband, what type of submission is it? It's a submission to a loving headship. Wives, submit unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Now, as I studied this text of Scripture, there were three things come to mind. First of all, the comparison of the husband's scriptural duty. Husbands, love your wives. Underline the word husbands, underline the word wives. Let's pause for a moment. Notice that this text, in the context of the setting of the home, there's a scriptural truth here being assumed, inferred, a scriptural truth that's taught. And that scriptural truth is the subject of a biblical marriage. Marriage is between a husband and a wife, between a wife and a husband. Marriage is between a biological male and a biological female. And here the Holy Ghost designates the terms husband and wife. Marriage is between one biological husband and one biological wife. And biblical marriage, remember, is instituted by God. And it has very high expectations. How do husbands, how do wives live out the Christian life? You see, they're given very specific instruction as it relates to their relationship in the married state. The wife submits willingly and voluntarily. And the husband loves, and we're going to see how that pans out in a moment. You see, remember today, as you think of marriage, you're to think of marriage in terms of the gospel. Marriage in terms of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're to build your life and your home on Jesus Christ. You see, true marriage is a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. That's what we read. That's why I deliberately read from Ephesians. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of it. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then we come to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Hi. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Profound verses. Verses are a study and a sermon all on its own. And I have to tell you today, true marriage is one of the most misunderstood institutions in the modern world. You see, the modern world, the modern culture, is devoid of the divine word of God. It rejects the authority and teaching and sufficiency of the Bible. It's abandoned and rejected biblical teaching that marriage is between one biological man and one biological woman for life. Marriage, remember, of a man and a woman is an immense mystery. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and in the verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now let me ask you, you who are married, when you think of marriage, do you think of marriage in terms of the Bible? Let's think of the nature of marriage for a moment. It's exclusive. It's one man and one woman. Doesn't involve anyone else. True marriage is also publicly acknowledged. Paul quotes in Ephesians chapter 5, he quotes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Genesis 2, 24 uses the word cleave. You see, true marriage is permanent in duration. The word cleave means to be superglued. Marriage is more than a mutual agreement to live together. True marriage, biblical marriage, is a creation ordinance instituted before the fall. Remember, God made Adam first. And then from Adam, he built Eve from Adam. He built a woman for the man, out of man for the man, to complete the man, to complement the man. Marriage is a creation ordinance. It's a covenantal principle. There's an attached to it. That's why marriage vows are important. And marriage also has a conjugal experience attached to it. The two become one flesh, the union of one man and one woman in the context of marriage. God made marriage. God knows how marriage works. And God teaches, now listen to me carefully, that every marriage is to be an advertisement for the gospel. The comparison of the husband's scriptural duty is that his marriage to his wife is an advertisement for the gospel, an advertisement for Christ and the church, an advertisement for the Christian faith. That's what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32 is teaching us. And of course, today the culture is attacking the institution of biblical marriage. Why? Because its aim is to attack Christ and attack his church. And all the evils today, including abortion and the transgender ideology and the push to include RSE in schools, is a direct attack to destroy the family, a direct attack to destroy the advertisement of the gospel in biblical marriage of Christ and his church. And of course, the devil's at the back of that big push today. The attack of the institution of marriage is to destroy the institution of the family. And we need to pray for husbands and wives. Pray for one another. Pray for those that are bringing up their children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And the husband and wife relationship, remember, the primary duty, the primary responsibility to each other in submission and love is a picture and a pointer to the relationship between Christ and his church. That's why the Bible teaches it's not good for a man to be alone. Pray for the single man, that they will find wives and that they will get married and they'll realize the importance then of this picture, this comparison. The second thing is this, the command to the husbands about scriptural duty. If you look again at our text, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. There's a positive command here, love. There's a negative command, and be not bitter against them. Notice whenever Paul addressed wives under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he didn't add this little bit. He didn't address the husband to rule over their wives as Christ rules the church. He could have, but he didn't. No. Why not? I believe it's for this reason, that the number one primary duty and responsibility of husbands as the spiritual head of the home is to love their wives. Every husband must think, ask himself, how can I love my wife better? How can I love my wife in a greater way? How can I grow in my love to my wife? Now, there's a profound meaning here. The word for love is agapeo in the Greek. There's four words for love, which I'll not go into. But this word is a divine kind of love. The Greek word is the same as used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's the same word in 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a propitiation for us. You see, what do we mean by love? When I say this morning, husbands, love your wives, that's what the Bible teaches. You're asking me, well, what does that mean? See, sometimes when we think of love, we think of a romantic kind of love. I've got a strong feeling. I've got an emotion that's stirred in my heart and mind. I'm in love. And then a few years passes in the relationship, maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 30, more or less. And that strong feeling's gone. It's not there. You're searching for it and can't find it. And then you begin to think and say, well, I'm no longer in love. The feeling is gone. What must I do? And of course, what do many do in our culture when they come to that conclusion about themselves? I'll just get divorced. I'll move on. But is that the meaning here? Is it a romantic kind of love? Is it a feeling? See, true biblical love is not a feeling. Now, it does contain feelings and emotions. Don't get me wrong. But biblical love is not a feeling. What is biblical love? Biblical love has got three components. Three elements. It's got a true or a total commitment element. It's got a self-sacrificing element. And it has a caring, compassionate element. See, biblical love involves a true commitment. It's more than a feeling. Romantic love is a feeling. But redemptive love is doing. Real love doesn't focus on feeling, it focuses on doing. The aim is different. The mindset is, what can I do for you? Now, you can't command yourself to feel in a certain way. Feelings come and feelings go, dependent on the circumstances. Certain factors, your own mood, the weather, whether you can get sandals and shorts on or not, or whether you have to wear welly boots and a raincoat. The setting is important when you think about feelings connected to love. You can't command a feeling, but you can command total commitment. Remember in the Roman world, the Greek world, the Jewish world, most marriages were arranged by their parents. And the Apostle Paul is not saying, and this is how I understand it, love is the basis for marriage. I would tell you, and I have said, love is the basis for marriage. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is saying the opposite. He's saying marriage, as instituted by God, is the basis for love. Paul is saying to husbands, love the wife you married. Exclusively. With total commitment. Because marrying her is the basis of true love. See, in the modern day culture, in most relationships, a few years into that relationship, 5, 10, 15 or less, reach a point where sometimes, oftentimes, husbands say to themselves or to someone else, I just don't love her anymore. I've fallen out of love with her. Love is gone. We've grown apart. The feeling of love is not there. We're no longer compatible. I'm not attracted to her anymore. I'm just not feeling it, bro. Listen. Now listen to me carefully, husbands. Even if you feel that love is dead, and that love is buried, I have a message. That love can be rekindled. It can be restored. It can be rediscovered. How? Because it's not romantic love that's rooted in feelings. It is a love that involves a total commitment. And total commitment is a choice. And total commitment just doesn't feel. Total commitment acts. And you could learn what love is. And then you can do that love. Therefore, there's hope. Husbands, you must be totally committed to your wife. Now, I want to admit this morning, many marriages break down. And they break down because of sinful choices, sinful lifestyle choices, certain sinful behaviors, either between the wife and the husband. That's a moral behavior. And I'm not going to go into all the sort of details of lifestyle sinful behavior. But sometimes wives say to husbands, and husbands have to say to wives, you disgust me. You've been unfaithful. You make me sick. And in that context, then the wife and the husband have to recognize that what they've done is sinful. They've been guilty of a sinful choice, a sinful act. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Psalm 51, verse 4 and 5. And that has to be repented of, has to be repudiated, has to be put away. Husbands, loving your wife, the essential component, or one of them, is this. You're commanded by God to display and show total commitment to your wife. The wife is commanded by God to obey him. I want to tell you something else. Biblical love involves a self-sacrifice. Remember what we've already read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now that's very important. Love your wife sacrificially. Love your wife exclusively. Love your wife voluntarily. Love your wife willingly. Biblical love, redemptive love, means a willingness to voluntarily sacrifice yourself for your wife. It's a dying to self, a dying to sin. Putting aside what you want to do at that moment, putting it aside cheerfully, gladly, willingly, to serve the needs of your wife. You're to love your wife in this way. And no one else. And husbands, you're to love her as Jesus Christ loved the church. That's the message. That's the measure. That's the meaning when he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And how did he love the church? Sacrificially, exclusively, willingly, voluntarily, cheerfully. All of these other things come in. What does Jesus Christ think of the church? The church is his bride. He thinks of the church as the most beautiful woman that he's ever seen in his life. The most blessed woman that he's ever thought about. And he says, I'll sacrifice myself for her. Even though she was the most sinful and ungodly woman that he'd ever seen in his life. See, oftentimes this is what husbands say and think, but you have no idea how my wife treats me. She never does anything for me. She's older now, she's less attractive. She does annoying things. She's got annoying habits. What does the Bible say? Husbands, love your wife to this degree, to the degree that Jesus loves his church. And he loved the church not when she was beautiful, and not when she was blessed, but when she was ugly and fallen in the mire of sin. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does it mean in practice, very quickly? It means talking to your wife. It means listening to your wife, husband. It means helping your wife, the children. I have to confess to you, in the early days, I wasn't a very good help in the home. Helping with shopping. Shopping's a big task for a woman. You husbands should try shopping for one day. What about cleaning up the kitchen? Maybe surprise her that you've washed the dishes and you've cleaned the table and put them away. Tidy your own clothes. See a need and think to yourself, what can I do to help? Just as we were thinking about the sandals, the Lord Jesus doing what he could to take time and spend time. Pray with your wife. Maybe she's facing a particular difficulty. Tell her that you're there for her. Give her verbal reassurance. And what's the motivation? The Savior's love. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Very quickly, biblical love is a caring compassion. You see, true love cares. True love is compassionate. There's a feeling for her. There's thought. There's time. There's devotion. Let me tell you this little story, a true story in America. A head of a department in a particular university, his man was a professor, head of his faculty, and he's being promoted to the chancellor's position. That's an honorable position for any college professor. And of course, the man was called Frank, and the day that the news broke, everybody was happy for Frank. He's going to become the chancellor of the university. And of course, when the day of inauguration came, Frank got up to the podium. That day, he had just received some devastating news about his wife, and I'll tell you in a moment. But as he came to the podium, he talked of his wife of 42 years. He talked about how they had met. He talked a wee bit about their courtship. He talked a wee bit about their marriage. And then he said that he just received news that day, after being married for 42 years, that she had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And as he stood before the university with tears running down her face, he said, because she's sick, and I have vowed in sickness and in health to love my wife and to cherish her, I can't take this role of chancellor. It would involve too big a commitment, and my total commitment and self-sacrificing spirit and care and compassion has to be for my wife. And he stepped down from that position, which would have made him very popular, made him very wealthy. And he devoted himself for his final years to care for his wife. And he nursed her until she died. You see, that's biblical love. Biblical love is not a romantic feeling. Biblical love is a doing concept. And it involves these three components. And what are they again? Total commitment. A spirit of self-sacrifice and a caring, compassionate mindset. The wife remembers no one in the Bible as the weaker vessel. There's a negative command here very quickly. Be not bitter against them. The word bitter here means being harsh. Bitterness is associated with hatred and anger and disappointment. Bitterness takes root when you focus on their sins and their shortcomings, even focus on their silliness at times. Husbands can focus on their wives, thinking of unmet expectations. Husbands can then feel discouraged and express that discouragement in anger. They can become harsh and they become cruel and vindictive and maybe even violent towards their wives, which we spoke about last week. That is sinful behavior. That is wrong. And Paul assumes that the wife will do things that upset their husband, things that will annoy them. And he gives this negative command. Husbands, love your wives and be not, what, bitter against them. Don't be harsh and vindictive and cruel. You see, not being bitter implies that you've been led by love, not loathing. The husband is gentle, kind, compassionate, considerate. She's the weaker vessel. Not being bitter means you learn to curb and control your anger. Here's the biblical answer. Focus on her qualities. Focus on her talents. Focus on her abilities. Remember, she's not perfect. But remember, you're not perfect either. You're both sinners if you're saved by the grace of God, and you're in the family of God, and God's your Father, and Christ your Savior, and you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, and you've been led by the Spirit of God. Don't allow anger to build up, Ben. Don't be grumpy. Don't sulk. Don't be critical. Don't be negative. Try to create a climate of thankfulness and joy and trust and peace and faith. This negative command is very important. Be not bitter against them. This is what it means. And one final thing, the choice of the husband about the scriptural duty. When I think of this comparison, that biblical marriage is a pointer and an advertisement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I think of this command, these two commands, this positive and negative command, I think that overarching this is a choice. And the choice is this: aim to be like the Lord Jesus. Aim to be Christ-like. Aim to grow as a man of God. Aim to be more godly. Aim to have a spirit of true godliness. How? Aim to be experiential and a scriptural example of what a good husband is. Read the Word of God together with your wife. Pray with your wife and for your wife. Pray for the family. The Bible actually talks about this in the book of Peter. Remember, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, likewise, as husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's a very important text of Scripture. Make true commitment, self-sacrifice, caring, compassion, the components of your relationship. You see, there's a choice. And the choice is, I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus. I'm going to build my life in Christ. Now, that will involve recognizing your sin. That will involve repenting of your sin. That will involve receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. That involves God's salvation. And how to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's a story told of a young fellow that come to Reverend Henry Ironside. And he said this, Pastor, I need to have a word with you. I'm guilty of idolatry. And the pastor said to him, well, what do you mean? Explain yourself. You're drifting into idolatry, or you're guilty of idolatry. He says, I've put my wife in too high a plane. I feel that I love her too much. And I feel that I'm displeasing the Lord. And I think I have to spend less time and do less things for her. And Harry Ironside looked at him and said, tell me this, son. Do you love her more than Christ? No. Do you love her better than Christ? No. Do you love her greater than Christ? I don't think so. So you don't love her better or more or greater than Christ? No. He says, well, young man, that's the limit. And you haven't reached the limit. So you're not drifting into idolatry, and you're not guilty of idolatry in putting your wife in a very high plane and loving her. See, that's the measure. That's the message. That's the meaning. And we have to make a choice. And the choice is, well, I'm going to be like Christ. And before you can be like Christ, you have to be in Christ. And you have to live for Christ, through the strength of Christ, with the assurance that one day you'll go to be with Christ. Here's what I'm calling. In relation to the husband, the scriptural duty of husbands. It's a very high standard, a very high expectation. I confess I fall short. Pray for me.